better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Man, I'm so pumped because I am hydrated by our good friends at Sodi. Sodi are an Australian brand who are keeping all the best athletes hydrated. Or maybe you're just a thirsty human and you are trying to be a bit less thirsty. This is my favorite flavor. This is salty grapefruit. Seriously underrated. Very fresh. Now, essentially, we are human walking oceans. We need to have sodium, potassium, and magnesium in our blood. And that's what these guys have done. So Jason Kale at Sodi have put together this beautiful product. And you, my friends, can get a discount when you order with the discount code BULLETPROOF15 for 15% off. And you can stay very hydrated. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ Podcast. Have you ever shared some technique information and then had it used against you? The tables were turned. You thought the person needed your help. And then bam, they're hitting you with your own move. When is the right time to share? Now, I recently was contacted with a message by a friend of the podcast, and they had said that they had taken a little bit of time after class to share because it's a cool part of jiu-jitsu, you know, the knowledge exchange. You want to help somebody, but they may have chosen the wrong person because then this turned into a no time limit, no referee war where they were then a victim of their own move. They are now injured. Now, it's not so much the injury, but it's more just, have you ever had that, Joe, where you showed someone a move and they just hit it with you? Like they were real quick and then they just did it. And you're like, oh, goddamn.
No, but I don't show people shit.
I don't
show. I don't know how I do any of it. I just do it.
I can't explain
it. I'm not that guy, right, that's sharing much, a little bits here and there. But
have you ever regretted helping someone at jiu-jitsu at all? Is there
anything
that experience? No?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you know, so with this tale, I'm like, what's the problem? Because if you teach someone something, I mean, for them to then go and use it,
that's good.
That is an absolute success for you as a coach. Like, hey, I taught you this because I don't want you to ever use it. No. That's not what's going on.
No,
right?
But this guy's not a coach. He's a student, but he's been in the game a fair while.
But still, surely his drive to share was to pass on this technique so the person could utilize it.
Sure.
So then it gets utilized.
I think the dilemma is this. He's shown it to someone who's like lower rank. They've had less control, even though they've understood how it works. And now the guy's got an injured shoulder because maybe they ripped it on a bit hard or who knows. Like the dilemma isn't so much that they learn the technique that you taught them, that either you're a great teacher or they're a great student, however you want to interpret it. It's more that maybe they didn't understand the nuances of control and now you're injured as a result of you trying to help somebody.
Yeah.
It's actually resulted in a net negative for you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And so the question was, when or where is the right time to share? And I'd said,
when you know the defense to the technique.
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, right?
Yeah. True. That's true. But I was going to say, this brought up two major thoughts in my mind, which I thought was interesting. So long time ago, first time I met Fabio Gurgel, one of the questions that I wanted to ask him was, at Alliance, they closed brackets. So in the finals, they would not fight each other. And they actually kind of got in trouble for this. Like the IBJJF, they end up changing their rules. Like you can't close, you must compete, you know, unless somebody...
So to close a bracket is to have two of your... Two from the same gym make it to the final.
And they just and agree.
They
just agree who wins. They just go,
right, you be the champ this time.
You've got it, yeah. And the reason why Fabio said this, because Gracie Baja at that time did not. So there was a final where I think Homolo Bahal fought Hodja Gracie in the final of the absolute. And they fucking fought. It was like...
They were both from Baja.
Yeah, it was a pretty tough match, you know. And, you know, Hodja at that time, you know, he prevailed. But to the side... The reason why Fabio thought it was important was so that people wouldn't hold back information from each other. He's like, if you know you've got to fight that guy for the world, like you know that you're the top two guys in the world, well, then that will change the way you train. you're going to keep a technique secret because you don't you want to have an arsenal to beat that guy. But if you know that you're never actually going to be fighting off for it, if someone makes a mistake, you're like, hey, man, that's a mistake. You should fix that. Because you want them to do better because ultimately you just want them to be better to beat other gyms or, you know, it's just in the spirit of improving each other because you don't feel that you're going to lose anything out of it. That said.
Scarcity mindset at play there.
Yeah, maybe, but it's also just the trying to keep openness. It's pretty hard if you're constantly fighting people like on a daily basis. You start to know each other's games, right?
Yeah, like it's pretty hard to protect information.
Yeah.
When you're training together all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But this is what I would say relevant to when is a good time to share. I will only really share information or feedback with someone who really needs it. If it doesn't matter the belt level, if someone comes in there a white belt and they start going ultra hard and I'm actually like, whoa, this person's putting up a really good fight here. They don't need help. You know, it doesn't matter the belt level. That person has...
I tell them, you need to settle down a bit. Just chill. Just flow a little bit.
But it's, you know, that classic thing about you've got someone in a submission, they start coaching you how to do the submission. You're like, no, man, I've got you in the submission. You need to put your energy and get the hell out of here. But if someone gives me a really hard roll, I'm like, you're on the right track, thumbs up, pat on the back, see you next time. I'm not going to be coaching that person. They don't need any help. But then you get somebody, it doesn't matter the belt level, where they repeat the same mistake over and over and over again. You're like, dude, stop doing this. Stop putting your foot there or stop putting your hand there because I'm doing this sweep to you or I'm doing this submission to you and you just keep stuffing it up. And really, I don't want you to keep repeating your mistakes. So you give them that little bit of feedback and hopefully, doesn't mean they adopt it straight away, but maybe no one had ever told them, hey, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Have you had any instances like that where you kind of help a brother out?
Fuck no. It's the Joey show, cunt. My show. Yeah, of course. Had it with a mate yesterday. I feel terrible. Mike or Mark, I never remember. But fellow trained with it over at Balmain. And he always exposes his back when I pass his guard.
Right.
And I was like, man, you know, yeah. Like I pointed that out. I'm like, I just took you back twice today because you expose it each time. And he's like, yeah, fuck, it's a bad habit. Most people don't get my back from there. And I'm like, yeah, like here, maybe try this, you know. But I am often the person that I don't have a lot to share because I'm, you know me, I talk about it all the time. I've never had a particularly analytical approach to jiu-jitsu.
But do you think it's just because you're more focused on your own jiu-jitsu in that moment that you're not in the coaching mindset? Because you are a coach and you've coached and helped many people, right? You are...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's your profession, right?
Yes.
So is it because you're in the Joey lane that means you don't think in that way?
I would say yes, for sure. But also I was not... Like, I also... And I've become more analytical now.
Sure.
Like I'm trying to cultivate this, but I was also not analyzing myself. It's not like I was like reviewing, oh, sorry, man, I'm just thinking about my own game. I was like, no, I was just thinking about fucking winning. Or, you know what I yeah. mean? Or like.
Just trying to grab your neck.
Yeah, I just wanted to have a fucking sick roll, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so in any way, so when people come to me, you know, and they'll say, oh man, you're a black belt. Like, what do you think I should have done now? I'll be like, I don't fucking know. Let's ask the coach. I have more of an idea these days. But so, yeah, absolutely. Like when someone makes the same mistake, I always want to share. I know I've taught things to people and they have then employed that thing against me.
Yeah.
And
did you regret it?
Well, nah.
Nah.
I mean, if I didn't want them to use it, I wouldn't have taught it to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of, in that scenario, I'm thinking, well, okay, so you got caught in the thing that you just taught the person. And all right, well, let's say it's a submission technique you taught them. Well, what do you do when a submission's on? You tap to it or you get out of it. Like,
yeah, of course. But the other context we had talked about just prior to this conversation was, what if the person you're teaching it to is reckless as hell, doesn't have your level of control because they're a blue belt and you're a brown belt, or they're a new, you know, they're experienced white belt, but you obviously have control because you have years of experience.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I don't brutalize people every time I do this, whereas they are ripping people's arms off.
Ranking on it.
And because they honestly just don't know better other than they now understand mechanics of the technique.
That's a good point. I suppose, yeah, there is definitely something there whereby maybe you've made an incorrect assumption, right? Thought that they're going to be whatever, slower or more respectful once they've gotten to that point. And instead they've just gone like hell for leather.
Yeah.
And now you separated your rotator cuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess... unfortunately, you often learn these things after making that mistake.
Too late.
Dayan, so I'm guessing, you know, old mate is like, I need to watch out for whatever that is. Was it a, you know, who was it? Was it a blue belt?
It might have been a Kimura. He might have shown a Kimura or some kind of shoulder lock.
Yeah, right.
He's like, now my shoulder's ginger as fuck. Yeah. And you know, shoulder injuries are not great. But also, it was the no time limit. It was the time in which you showed it, right? Like, it was after class. It then turned into a role, and I think this student was probably like, I want to show him I learned what he taught me.
Yeah.
And then has done it to him in a pretty undiscerning way, and now he's dealing with a bad shoulder. So I think there's something to that too, like the context. Also, the post-class role, no ref, no time limit, no points, like fight to the death. That's asking for an injury anyway.
Yeah, there's a lesson there in like, self-control and yes. Sort of being able to zoom out and go, no, hang on, I've just done 90 minutes of training, or an hour of training. Yeah, fella wants to roll, but no, I'm good. I'm not really, my energy, I'm cooling down now. You know what? No, I'm good for the roll.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than like, and we've all done it where you're like, hey, hey, go
just,
on.
Just one more.
And then you're like, how the fuck did I get myself into this?
Oh, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably a separate conversation about being able to know when to call it.
Yeah,
you know, when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We've gotten the best of it.
Like that classic thing when I spent time in Whistler snowboarding years ago.
Okay.
But there was this thing where it's like, never say when it's going to be your last run. You never say, hey, this is my, okay, yeah, one more run, this is my last one. You never say that because that's the one you get injured on.
Oh, that's like saying, oh, we'll have a light roll.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, or like, okay, one more, go on, one more. Or so you just ski or snowboard, whatever, and then we go, hey guys, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, just call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's a huge thing to that. But then also this idea of discernment comes down to look at the person you're showing a technique to. Understand them a bit as a human. Are they a fucking brute and going to use this information? Like, are they going to go to the dark side with this? Or are they like a, you know, they will take this information, incorporate it into the game, and maybe pass it on to someone else without destroying them. I think we have to get past our need to want to seem authoritative or knowledgeable and be like, yeah, I'll just – do you want to learn some jiu-jitsu?
Show this mad heel hook I learned.
Right, so good. They don't even see it coming. I know you're not allowed to
do them yet, but give it a go.
Trust me.
I think it'll work well for you.
Yeah, just try it on.
Big arms.
Try it on high belts.
Once you lock onto this, bro.
Right, it's a game over.
Yeah, I mean, there's also maybe a lesson there in terms of like, it's one thing to teach someone the mechanics of a technique.
Sure.
But you also, for like some people when you're coaching this stuff, and you would know this, JT, like anytime you're coaching, you know, beginners, you also have to teach them about how to respect the moment of application. Sure. Like, hey, you got to understand, like you got a lot of power in your hands right at this moment. Like you could tear that person's shit if you want to. So when we get here, like, yeah, you know, like you're trying to give them that, trying to make them understand, oh, okay, there's actually like getting there is like, yep, step one, step two, step three. But then at this point, now you need to be really mindful of what's happening to that person's joint.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Bam.
In that moment, Uncle Ben's telling you, don't fuck up your training partner's shit. There's so much trust here, right? I think that's the thing that we forget. We're giving so much trust to our training partner that when we do tap, they don't keep going, or they also know that they're taking us to perilous territory, and they also maybe might let go a bit early because you don't know how far your joint can stretch, and they're like, well, I might just, you know, like, and I think when I was younger and earlier in the jiu-jitsu journey, if people tapped early, I'd be like, what are you doing? I didn't tap you. Like, why are you?
Yeah.
Like, it's coming on.
I need to know I earned it.
Joint. Just break a little. But it makes so much more sense to just be like, yeah, you've got me, you know, like just being honest. This has gone too far. you don't actually have to fully hyperextend someone's arm to know that that arm bar's on, right? And that's really looking after yourself and looking after your training partners too. I think it is great when my jiu-jitsu has improved so much because a higher belt took time out to explain something to me, and that really hit in that moment. It really sunk in. I'm like, wow, okay, Jesus. Coach didn't tell me that, but you know, you're gradually getting smarter and smarter in jiu-jitsu because of people making an effort to teach you. So I think it's a very valuable thing. That said, if you're somebody who's like, oh, I got all this jiu-jitsu I want to share and I'm not a coach yet, but I want to, I think part of that is understanding the person you're teaching it to. And, you know, I had made a mistake in the past, a student of mine, I didn't realize he was kind of like a dark Sith Lord in the making, because I just want to see the good in people. You know, I had a lot of optimism about his character, but then I showed him a couple of things because he's such a like an inquisitive learner, and then I saw him just bullying people with these moves. And I wouldn't say like he gave anyone serious injuries, but he was kind of hurting people a bit, and I was like, oh shit, have I, as a bad parent, have I raised a bully? Do you know what I mean? Like I just wanted to see the good in him. But what I started to see on the side of the mat, watching him roll, was him just being, inadvertently mean, like just overly mean with things that I taught him. And then at my grading, he also fucking totally ripped my ankle and fucking like he injured me in my black belt grading. So I was like,
oh
fuck, the chickens come home to roost, you know, like. He was trying to be a good example of my teaching,
Big Daddy.
And he fucked me up. And I didn't regret showing him that, but I was like, oh, I didn't teach him how to be a good person. I mean, maybe that was his dad's job. maybe that's not your job as a jiu-jitsu coach, but it made me realize that you do empower people when you teach them techniques, but if you don't teach them the nuance of kind of when and how and maybe a little bit of control, that can be the failing.
For sure.
And that's a bit higher order, you know?
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to like life coach somebody. And
it is. And I think there's a lot of, you could ask, you know, 10 coaches and get 10 different responses about how they view their kind of role in terms of cultivating students. There's going to be a bunch that are like, man, it's just jiu-jitsu, like it's just techniques, you know, whatever. And if they're fucking, if I got a blue belt or a white belt and they're fucking snapping knees, great. Like, if the shit's working, it's working.
Yeah.
But then I think you'd have other coaches that, like, no, I want to see, like, human qualities. I want to see, like, other things off the mat.
Personal development.
Yeah, that indicates, like, there's a parallel progression of them as an individual as well as their jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, I love a nice hot beverage. And it's the funny thing. You can be in a relationship for a long time and then, you know, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, they bring you a nice warm beverage. You go, you know what? That's beautiful. It's just made your day that much better. The other day, Joey, he brought me a coffee. And
this is for you, James.
It made me forget all the times he armbarred me. It made me forget all the times he held me accountable. It made me forget all the annoying emails he sent me. And I was like, my guy, I fucking love this guy. And for the next, as long as the coffee lasted, I fucking love that guy. I mean, I still love him. But, you know, it's different in those moments, those special moments. And every time we put together an episode like this, we're trying to deliver you a nice, warm beverage of information and entertainment. And all we ask in return is that you would please subscribe if you're on YouTube or follow on the audio platforms, but also give us a rating. If you give us a rating, it means we get to share this info with more people and give them nice, warm beverages. And you've helped make that happen. So we appreciate you listening. Please subscribe, please follow, and also give us a rating. Thank you all.